This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again on Old Dan, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. And this is our regular study here. We're bringing on the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we're coming on down. We're not in no hurry. Before we get started, I want to play you another one of our radio choir songs. I believe it'll be a blessing to your heart, and then I'll tell you how you might receive them. So let's listen, if you will. You know anything about the mercies of God, my friend? It's just mercy that you and I are here at this time, still living, still breathing, in the land of the living. But this is the Old Trailblazer, and I want to mention we have 9 of these CDs. They're full length, about 18 songs on each one of them, old blood songs, and they're $5. So if you will, write me, let me hear from you. We're bringing you this study on 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we're looking at the promises, how Rahab believed the promises that were told to her. And she looked at that scarlet rope day in and day out while he was marching around that city. And one of the things, let me tell you, you and I look at God's promise. Here it is. I wish you believe it. I wish you believe God's word. Do you believe it? Oh, listen, folks. I asked some of our folks in our last service, called a young lady's name, do you believe God's word? Just believe it. Just believe it. Or do we have folks out there in my audience who are, what do you call them, agnostics and skeptics and those people that deny God's word, deny the sovereignty of God? But listen, Pastor told me a story not long before he died. He said a man on the street one night there in one of our large cities in the north, giving his testimony at a Salvation Army meeting out there on the corner. Elderly man telling how the Lord had saved him, brought him from a life of sin and degradation. Christ had made his home a new home, and yet one of these characters, I call him, graduate of high school of learning with a PhD and a THD and all that, I don't know, but listen, and he was there. He was there, walked up there, and maybe you don't have those folks where you live, but listen. So there was one of those folks there at this meeting, will come walking up there with a BA and a THD and what all, and listen, he was a learned professor. He'd walked up there, well-dressed and all. happened to be one of those fellas. And so he listened there a little while, and he said, "Oh, old man, shut up. Shut up your mouth. You don't know what you're talking about. Shut up. You're living behind the times." And he made that statement two or three times. And all at once, something began to tug at his coat. And he looked down, and there stood a little tallow-faced girl with tangled hair hanging down over her shoulders. Head had on a little faded calico dress, barefooted. And he looked at her, and she said, Mister, I don't know who you are, but Mister, don't wake my daddy up. If he's asleep, don't wake him up. He's my dad. He's my dad. And that's the only thing Mother and us children have known for years. He'd come home drunk and drinking and spend all his money and liquor and dope and all those things. We had nothing to eat, nothing to wear. But now, for the last several weeks and months, he's been coming home at night sober, bringing his money home, bringing us things to eat and things to wear and fruit. And he takes us in his lap and sings lullaby songs and kisses us, loves on us and kisses my mother, and he loves her. Mister, don't wake him up. Don't wake him up. My friend, that's what the gospel does. I want to tell you, these university they're in, seminaries, some folks say the cemetery, they deny, and I have so much trouble with them. I do. I have trouble with folks who take issue with God's word. I may have told you, I had a man wrote me here a while back, and we have a broadcast called The Voice of Truth. It's a nationwide broadcast, been on the air for 50 years. And he wrote and he said, since you're the voice of truth, you could just smell the sarcasm in his first line. Since you're the voice of truth, he said, I want you to tell me who Cain's wife was. And then he went on to say he had a BA from certain university and a TA and he had a PhD pending. And I hardly ever even respond to those kind of fellas. But I wrote him back and I said, Mister, I don't have all those degrees. But I said, any fool knows that Cain's wife was his sister. I said, my dad told me that a fool could ask a question that a smart man can't answer. And I don't have all those PhDs and PhDs pending. But I can tell you, I can answer your question. Well, I never did hear any more from him. And I praise the Lord for it. I don't care where they come from. If they take issue with God's word, I don't have any time for them. Now, I just tell you that. The scripture says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. That's Isaiah 1:18. You ought to type that out and hang it up on your refrigerator, my friend. You young people who are just starting out making your home, some of these gracious verses of God's word, type them up and put them on your refrigerator. If you would, that'll remind you. The gospel that I preach here of the Son of God who suffered and died on Calvary, was buried and rose again, and to cleanse from sin, that's what the gospel does. And to take a poor harlot or a murderer and make them into the purity of purities, my friend. I often tell my congregation that there's not one sin registered against the old trailblazer. Not one past sin, not one future sin, or not one present sin. Now, do you say that's bragging, trailblazer? Yes, sir, it is. It's telling you the truth of God's word, that when the Lord gives us a new heart, cleanses us, he washes away all of our sin. He does. Listen, he'd take a poor old harlot like Rahab and make her into a fit lady. That's what I preach day in and day out. That's what I stand for. I don't class Christianity with other religion. No, sir. I don't. It's the Son of God. There's no one like him. Someone was talking to an old preacher one day, and he said, they were out in the cemetery, and he said, where is your God? He said, here, he's in the grave. My God's right here in the grave. He said, not mine. Mine rose from the grave. Would you think about that a minute? All of these false religions that we have today, their God is still in the grave. They are. Oh, it's so prevalent now. It's widespread, isn't it? Isn't it, my friend? Listen, he's the Son of God, the second person of the triune God. I had a man wrote me the other day denying the Trinity. He said that God, Christ, was just a man, a great man, but he was just a man. And my friend, I didn't write him back. He's a nationwide, nationally known songwriter and singer and preacher. And he wrote me that, denying the Trinity. And I was mentioning it to one of our brethren here. I said, I wonder what he does with first chapter of John, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What does he do with that, my friend? A fellow has to be sorry to deny the Trinity, my friend. Now, you can take issue with that if you want to. You don't have to write me and tell me all those things. But listen, he was our substitute there on Calvary. And he rose from the tomb that you and I might live. He lives now at the right hand of the Majesty on high, that sinners might be saved. Have we completely lost sight of why Christ came? I brought a message not long ago. Why did Christ come? What did he come for? Did he come to be a great teacher, a great healer? No, he came to be a substitute for sin. A substitute, that's why it was so Satan did not want him to go to the cross. No. But listen, and then there in the garden, I remember that verse. It says, if it could be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy. He didn't want his will to be done. Someone made this statement that God the Father looked all over the universe, all of the planets in this, everywhere, to find a substitute that could die for sinners. He couldn't find one. Only one that was appropriate, that was qualified, was the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, go there and read the story of Isaac taking his son up there on the mountain and to sacrifice. Go there. It's a great picture of the crucifixion of our blessed Lord. Oh, he said, Father, Isaac said, Father, where is the offering? Here's the fire and here's the wood. Where is the offering? And Abraham said, the Lord will provide himself an offering. He has, my friend. Jehovah Jireh. That's what that word means. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide or shall provide. But this is the old Trailblazer. I'm so happy to have you folks with us today. And I want to tell you how much I appreciate every one of you writing, your emails, your correspondence, your help with the broadcast. If you would, remember, we need help with the broadcast now. We've gone on all these new stations and the Lord is providing. But, you know, we never get on here and beg for money. We never do that, no. And we don't go in debt, no. If we can't afford it, we don't pay it. We don't buy it. But I would, like Pastor Shelton used to tell us, don't miss a blessing. You want a blessing, you help us with the broadcast. Remember my mailing address, the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. Goodbye.